Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's really good to be back together here in this meeting house. Our travels took us away in last Sunday's camp meeting, so it's good to be back in these doors and worshiping together on a Sunday morning. Special welcome to each one of you. I've been bringing sermons on the ordinances, and I don't believe on every. For instance, we do study some of the ordinances fairly often. For instance, communion, maybe feet washing. But some we don't look at so very often, and so we've already looked at the ordinance of anointing with oil, the ordinance of the headship order, which is still probably one of the more impactful studies in my own mind. And then this morning, I would like to look at the ordinance of the holy kiss. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 20. I believe this is Brother Paul. He's written a letter that had some pretty hard things to the church at Corinth and to the church of all time, as he addresses issues that are just common to man. And he begins to wrap up his thoughts here in this letter. And he brings greeting from the churches of Asia in verse 19. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that's in their house, and I believe that's probably where Paul was at. And then he says in verse 20, all the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand, and we see the letter concluding. I think it was probably 22 years ago that I heard a sermon on this ordinance. That's a good many years ago. Have you ever heard a sermon on this ordinance? 2, 3, 4. Yeah, there's a nice handful, but not so many. I can say that I have, but it's been, like I said, 22 years probably. And I have never spoken on it, and I don't believe that we ever had a sermon on this ordinance here in this assembly. And so I do want to pick it up. I believe I have a responsibility to do so, and I think it's important. I think it's actually very important that we study, think about, process biblically what it is that we do and why it is that we do it. And I certainly don't feel like I have the full scope and depth of this subject, but I'd like to open that up and think about that together this morning. And so if you would stay with me, we'll work through this. I think it's important that we understand what we do and why we do it. And if we wish to keep this ordinance alive, we're going to need to be convinced of its biblical basis. We're going to need to understand it as a Bible command that spans culture, you know, that spans the cultures of time. And we're going to need to teach it to the coming generation. And most importantly, so that we can practice it as the ordinance, and I'll touch on this word ordinance here in just a moment, so that we can practice it as the ordinance that it is, right? And so what is an ordinance? And I'll use a simple definition that I believe we've used many times, and I appreciate it. It's an external, visible ceremony that is established by God and has spiritual meaning. So, one writer said, we're talking about external forms or rites, R-I-T-E-S, that symbolize spiritual truth and experience. That's what makes it an ordinance. So it's more than the action. It's more than the baptism. Friday night we were at Tyrone for a baptism. It's more than the pouring of the water, right? We understand that. It's more than the handshake and the holy kiss. It's more than just that bread that we break, right? We understand that. Those are ordinances that we partake of fairly often. We understand there's a lot more going on than some bread and juice. So it's an ordinance. And this is an ordinance like that. It has deeper meaning than the actual action. And that's what makes it meaningful. That's what shapes this whole practice. So what are some challenges to the practice of the holy kiss? I thought I would just start with that. And we'll probably open this up some more as we go along. Some of the challenges might be hypocritical practice. When it becomes an external practice, but the heart is gone. Love for our brothers and sisters just aren't there. The Sunday school lesson and that one of the focuses that we ended up with was this question of one, this thought of one. How is it that we become one as the Father and Christ are one? How is it that that happens? And this ordinance, you know, not everybody gets married. We see that as an ordinance. Not everyone gets anointed with oil. But there is a, this is sort of, has some commonality to it, like communion or feet washing in the way we practice it. The holy kiss has that same sort of equality of experience. And so the question is, does that connect to the heart? And so I'm suggesting that a challenge to this practice is coldness, lack of love, broken up pieces of a church. And as I was pondering this, sometimes I have heard a thought expressed, and it has, quite frankly, made me slightly uncomfortable, and that is sort of almost an exaltation of our brotherhood and the experience of our brotherhood. And I praise God for the experience of our brotherhood. But it does, and I've wondered, you know, how do we keep that? And it occurred to me as I was pondering over this, perhaps one of the keys to our brotherhood has been a commitment. And by the grace of God, of being able to fulfill this work of love and brotherhood, and the holy kiss has been part of that. And perhaps the best way for us to have the kind of church life all of us want is to remain focused on that and see to it that we are living this out. So hypocritical practice is a challenge to this. Second might be the fear of man or the natural reserve, just to sort of pull back. This is not, it's a little bit like maybe like feet washing or something like that. It feels just a little bit out of the norm. You know, it's just a little bit out of the norm. It's slightly radical. And but we observe that and we understand that teaching, separate subject. And here is something that's also somewhat unnatural. And it depends on our culture and background. And I want to acknowledge that this idea of a kiss on the cheek, in some cultures, it's very common. It's also part of their culture or expression. And you'll see that. So that's something of interest and to keep in mind. And also, this also was likely a practice from Jewish culture that it seems like Paul was, and Peter, in his writing, which we'll get to, was bringing into the church and making it a part of the practice of the church. And I don't understand all of that. But the fear of man or the natural, that's a challenge to the holy kiss. And so we need to recognize that, that there is something unnatural that we're going to need to push through. So let's just be honest with that and be willing to do that. Second would be, you know, something that replaces it. John Piper, I come across an article from him. He was actually answering a question written to him by someone who was listening to his preaching and teaching and said, hey, could you explain to me what 1 Corinthians 16:20 means for us today? And he gave his answer. And basically, the summation of his article was that it doesn't so much matter the greeting. Make it a holy fist bump. Make it a fist bump that represents what Christ is. The important thing is the teaching. And we don't deny that. We're recognizing that. The important thing is the teaching, except we're not really willing to separate it. We haven't really found a good reason to do that. And so, yeah, he didn't reject it, but he just sort of said, you know, hug, fist bump, you know, those kinds of things. But make sure that your heart is there and that you love your brother and your sister. And so we want to. So in other words, I'm just saying that there is, as we think about both the spirit and the literal aspect of this, one of the challenges is that's basically what Christianity has done with this practice, along with many other practices, to be fair. Okay, so they sort of come together often in the package. So I think that's something we need to be aware of. And I think I already addressed this, but maybe I just double addressed it because I added it here. Close brotherhood is not being practiced. Community and fellowship have gone dark, distant, and cold. And that's one of the main reasons why this practice just dies. That just kills it. And there's no reason to do that. Another challenge I thought of as I was sitting here this morning is that the young don't take up the practice. And it becomes just a salutation of the older. And that's not really what I believe we're... that's a challenge to this. That's how it sort of dies. Or that it's somehow reserved for like leadership. And I want to just push back on that one. I actually know that's part of some of our Anabaptist culture, and I never quite understood that. Because it's not about some kind of order regarding this. I see it very much as an equality. And that there is a... So maybe we'll talk about that some more as we go along. So those are some challenges to this ordinance of the Holy Kiss. So let's talk about greetings. Scripture talks about different greetings. The first greeting that I want to note is you'll find it in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus told the disciples to go out. He said, don't carry a purse or scrip nor shoes, and salute no man in the way. And that has the idea of saying hello, Jesus is saying break the... He interrupted the norm of experience for this missionary journey. So as we think about the word salutation or greeting, as it's used in the scripture, it includes this idea of talking with one another, fellowship, and those kinds of things. So that is a greeting that is found in scripture. John, 3 John 1, verse 14 says this, but I trust that I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. I just wanted to notice that this morning as we think about our salutation and greetings. And the Holy Kiss is often part of that. And I think that we should make, this isn't just sort of a bump and run kind of moment, but it is rather a time when we reach out in fellowship. We reach out in name. And I think that's significant. There's a reason why our names mean something to us, and we should use that. You know, Brother Justin, we should use that as we approach each other and as we salute and greet one another, which I believe in some places, and we'll get to that, most certainly includes the Holy Kiss. So we see that personal or common greeting in Scripture. The second one that I want to note is this right hand of fellowship. So that is a phrase that came to my mind, and you'll find that in Galatians 2 verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, James, Peter, and John, I believe that is, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, and this is Paul writing this, I believe. So he's talking about these three pillars of the faith. When they perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the uncircumcision, to the Jews. And so here we see this greeting, including this right hand of fellowship. And that's a greeting that we use. We use it commonly. We use it outside of the church, and that's fine and that's right. But we should use it within the church. I don't think we should just sort of sidle up to each other and start to talk. I'm suggesting that we may do that sometimes, but I'm suggesting we lose something if that's all we ever do. And so this right hand of fellowship was given, and we should give our right hands of fellowship. I really don't know Brother Josh too well, but I would have liked... I'm suggesting we gave some right hand of fellowship already this morning, right? And that's how we, I think we should look for those opportunities, and certainly we should with each other. Adam Clark said this, giving the right hand to another was the mark of confidence, friendship, and fellowship. And I like that. And we'll use this greeting also sometimes between genders as we meet each other. We may do that here. And I think that's right. I don't see that as culturally. That's not outside the norms, our culture. It is true that you go to some closed cultures and you just don't do that. You don't put out the hand. It'll often sort of hang there empty. So you'll learn that lesson. But in our culture, we have seen that as an accepted norm, and I'm okay with that. I don't feel like one is right and one's wrong. And so there's the right hand of fellowship. And then finally, there is the holy kiss. And I'm just going to reference some other places that it's talked about. In Acts 20, verse 36, we have this moment where the church has come together because Paul is traveling on his way to Jerusalem. And they met there on the seashore. They had a little service, if you will. They spent some time in prayer. And then those men, there was tears involved here. There was a sort of a brother, an elder, who they believe was moving on to an end. And so they fell on his neck, it says, and they wept sore. He kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. There is a description of when this happened. And then also in Scripture, you have some other, of course, we know the account of Judas as he kissed Jesus to point him out. There's some other places. Esau, as he met Jacob, he fell on his neck and kissed him. So there's a Bible culture to this as well that we see in Scripture. So the holy kiss. This kiss we're talking about, if you're with me still, if you're still open to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 20, greet you one another with an holy kiss. This kiss that we're talking about is the holy kiss. What is this kiss? Well, let's think just a little bit more broadly, first of all, about the kiss. A kiss is an expression of affection. What all that the kiss entails. It may be a kiss between a parent and child. It may be a kiss between a husband and a wife. And that's a kiss of affection and intimacy between a husband and wife. A kiss can also be sensual and provocative, and it's used publicly in media and movies and that kind of thing to incite sexual drives, those kinds of things. So that's sort of the broad spectrum of the kiss. But the kiss that we're talking about is holy. It's defined here as holy, which is sacred, which is physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated. And that's the kiss that we're talking about this morning. And it's interesting to me how that God is willing to take something that has all of those possibilities and say, I'm taking this, I'm claiming this turf. I'm not giving up this thing. I'm claiming it as part of Christian experience and the communication of pure love. And so we see, I believe that's what God's doing here. I did come across an article written by Aaron Shank many years ago. He stated the following: the term holy means something sacred and pure. Sharing the kiss is intended to indicate a mutual personal attachment to and an affection for each other. Thus, the holy kiss is an expression of pure, sacred affection and attachment to one another within the Christian brotherhood. And that's what we're considering here this morning. And so again, I note that God's not afraid to use what has been so often misused in this world to represent something beautiful and spiritual in his kingdom. And so he has commanded that we greet one another with an holy kiss. Romans 16:16 also says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So we find this directive, command, given five places in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:20, Romans 16:16. And just to note a little bit of history, I forgot to bring the book with me, so I'm going to go by memory. But I believe it was Justin Martyr who wrote AD 160, somewhere in there. Following prayer, we greet one another with the holy kiss. Just a little statement from the church, somewhere around AD 160. And then there was others that wrote. Another one said, I believe it was in the Apostolic Constitutions or something, somewhere in the AD 340, 390 range, where there was direction given that the kiss is to remain separate between the genders. All right, so now we understand that there's a holy kiss on both sides of the house. And another brother wrote somewhere in the 200 AD range, and this one caught my eye. He said he was actually writing about abuses of the holy kiss. And he said there are those who kiss with a resounding kiss. But there's a problem going on in their hearts. Like, they aren't, this isn't, it has become a thing of show. He said, look, this isn't about show. It's not about putting on airs. And so rather make sure, he said, this is about a mystical or spiritual purpose, he said. And so he said that it should be a closed and chaste kiss. Just interesting. Very interesting that men of across the ages have addressed this practice and how it, problems with it or abuses of it, etc. So it's a holy kiss, and it is also the kiss of charity. 1 Peter 5:14, it's just one very short verse, so I'll just read it to you. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's sort of the same thought, but it is specifically using the word charity, which is love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks a lot about charity, doesn't it? You know, charity doesn't profit too much where there's a whole bunch of other things going on. This is a kiss of charity. It's a kiss of love. It's this idea of affection or benevolence. That thought of benevolence, giving due benevolence one to another, isn't that a verse speaking to marriage? But my point is this idea of giving space, being willing to work with each other in all of our quirks and differences and a whole host of other things. You know, there's some people who we just naturally flow and blend with a little better than others. Is that not true? It happens. It's just part of life. And this is saying give this thing of this kiss of charity is to give this benevolence. You know, I love you as you are, brother. I love you as you are, sister. And so I believe it's making that point here. And Peter is making that point to us and to all ages. We are called to love one another as Christ has loved us. And so that opens up a big space, doesn't it? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And obviously, the kiss is just part of that. But if our hearts are engaged in our brotherhood, in this assembly that we are to care for, that we're to watch out for, that we're to pray for one another for, if we're to think of our brother and sister ahead of ourselves, and if we're to think of the greatest among us, is that the one that's our servant. The one who serves is the greatest. If that's our mind, if that's our spirit, then we can give the kiss of charity. That's what makes it the kiss of charity. That kind of benevolence and that kind of love, affection, is what makes it the kiss of charity. And so Scripture is full of direction about how we're to think of ourselves and how we are to think of others. And it is up to this conviction and practice of our hearts. It's within this conviction and practice of our hearts that we're to extend the right hand of fellowship and greet one another with the holy kiss. And, may I add, bless one another. I think we should also extend a blessing. I'm just suggesting it. It doesn't say and wish one another God's blessing. But isn't that the spirit of it? And so we have. It's been part of our culture, and I hope it still is, and I think it's a refresher course from my own mind. Can we extend the right hand of fellowship and the holy kiss and wish God's blessing on each other? I think we should do that. I think we should wake that back up. Sisters, I think we should do that. And I would encourage us to do that. And so what are some helps? I have a few helps that I want to sort of bring this sermon to a close with. What are some helps to the practice of the holy kiss? Well, first of all, it is to believe and accept that this is a Bible command and that God will bless those who practice it. What other Bible commands are we missing? It's possible. I'm not sure if there's a command to lift up holy hands or not. Is there a command there? I don't know. As I was thinking about this, such a statement to say that this is a command, but I do believe that it is a directive of God. It's pretty clear in Scripture. But we need to believe and accept that this is a Bible command and that God will bless it. Number two, do not be a hypocrite about your heart for our brother or sister. Matthew 5 gives us that account. Jesus is talking about a man who came to the altar, and as he was coming with his sacrifice, it came to his mind that he had a problem. He had a problem with a brother. And so he put it down. Jesus said, leave your gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I think that's a principle to go by. And if we have a problem with a brother, if there's a problem in our heart, and it's more than just a little bit of benevolence and some space we need to give each other, if it's more than that, then perhaps we should hold that greeting and say we need to talk. That would probably be the right thing to do. Between him and I, it might be the right thing to do, and so that we can give the kiss, the holy kiss, the kiss of charity. So let's be honest with our hearts and work out those problem spots so that we can live this out as God would have us. I already, I think, brought this up, but I'll refresh it here. The kiss is about equality. It's about equal calling and accountability. And so that's a help. If we understand that this is about us, our brother and our sister, and being equals with them, I think that'll help us. Another help to the practice of the holy kiss is to express yourself by calling your brother or sister by name and add a salutation or blessing that you mean. Don't say if you don't mean it. Brother Marcus, the holy kiss, right hand, the holy kiss, blessings. What does that mean exactly? So think about it. It's a little bit like, if you remember, I'm not sure how Brother Kinley got this done, but somehow he helped us all to understand that when we say the Lord's Prayer, we should actually mean it. We should get it. If just don't become mechanical with that, and that's so much of life, isn't it? And this is another one of those places. If we're going to say it, let's mean it. And I think I would suggest that to add a blessing is very appropriate. And God bless you in a way that means it, says, is very powerful. It is very powerful. And so let's not forget that. Another help to the practice of the holy kiss is to remember that this kiss is different from other kisses. And I suggest it's not a kiss for the lips, but rather it's a dry kiss to the cheek area. It is more like that. And so there's just some little things like that we keep in mind. It makes it it helps to keep it quite different from others. My fifth help here to the practice of the holy kiss is to recognize cultural practice and times for this kiss. Okay? Like, when do you and when don't you? You meet at Sheets. Is that the time? Every time you pass each other in the hallway here today, is that the time? How do we proceed? And this is just cultural norms. This is just what gets worked out to be your cultural norm. Sometimes we need to help ourselves. That's what I think that's what I'm feeling led and burdened to this morning, is to try to lift it up a little bit. But what is sort of a cultural norm that's sort of normal for us? And so for us, in our group, it's typically saved for the assembly. We meet each other, you know, one time, typically, as we go about this service. And so that's a way for us to honor this practice. You know, for communion, we do twice a year. That's just become our culture and our tradition. It's not the only way to do it. We recognize that. And so this is one way we could look at it. And there's other times. I personally have always appreciated if I'm invited to somebody's place for, our family's invited there for an evening, to be met at the door and greeted with the holy kiss, I think it's very appropriate. But that's my thought. I think it shows a kind of love and brotherhood and community. And it's a way to greet your people when they come in the door. It's just another thing of Christian, the Christian graces and, yeah, the word's not coming to me. And so, yeah, we think about those times. Maybe when someone's been absent for a long time or those kinds of things. And so, yeah, I would greet someone as they exit the international arrivals at the airport without a lot of thought. If it's someone who I haven't seen for a long time and I want to extend that hand of Christian greeting, I don't see any problem with that. But again, those are things that we find our way in, and there's not really one right way or another. But typically, it's practice here in the assembly. Another help for this practice of the holy kiss, number six, is older make a point of greeting the younger. It tends to just flow that way. And so let's use that kind of initiative. And that helps to carry this on and pass this on. Another help is obviously the kiss is separated by gender. I think that's quite clear. Brothers are brothers, sisters are sisters. And so how are we doing? Brothers, sisters, how are you doing? Seems like it's interesting. There are more reservations about this practice among our sisters, and I'm not sure why that is. So I want to encourage you to press. I want to encourage you all to press into this simple and godly command of the Scriptures, the holy kiss. There would probably be more. I'm going to end with that. I'll end with just a verse out of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And there is the heart of Peter to the church. And I would like to close with a quote from Menno Simons, writing a letter to a church in Prussia, somewhere around, 1500s. In an effort to encourage them to brotherly love and faithfulness, closed his admonition with the words, "And do ye greet one another with your hearts, with a holy kiss of love?" He was asking a question. I asked the question. I believe God's asking the question. Let's be faithful in this ordinance. God bless you all. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. And Lord, as we thought about your word and how that you and Jesus Christ and your Trinity, it's one. It's one in perfection, a seamless joining of efforts, of responsibilities and abilities. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as this body to be one, that we would fit together. And Lord, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you for the blessing that we have received through this practice. And I pray that you'd help us to keep it alive, to grow in it, to receive the blessing of it. And I pray that you'd help us to love one another with an unfeigned love, with a fervent love. And that as we go out these doors, we would carry that sense of community, of grace and power with us. And I pray you'd help us to be a blessing to those who know so little about love, let alone pure and unfeigned love. Help us in this work, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.